Well, this morning, I'm going to continue into my series on Jonah, and I'm glad you guys are giving me a second chance this morning, because that's exactly what Jonah chapter 3 is about. So today, we're going to get in there, and the first thing that I want to show you in Jonah chapter 3, it's got my very first, this verse is my favorite verse out of the whole book of Jonah, and it's Jonah 3:1, and it says this, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah." Now, somebody help me say it aloud with me. A second time. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Online, type in second time, okay, if you're listening this morning. But how many of you are thankful for a God of second chances? Amen. Which raises the question, did I mess up on accident or was that on purpose? To illustrate to you guys what a second chance looks like. But I kind of hooked you there, but just so you know, if I mess up from now on, it is for real, okay? So be gracious to me if you would. But before we dive into chapter 3, I want to review just a little bit of where we've been over the last couple of weeks in case you weren't here, and I don't want to go too deep into it, but we're in the book of Jonah, and the chapter 1, we read that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and he said, "Go to Nineveh and preach to the people there." Because why? Because they were holy? Anybody? Were they holy? No, they were a wicked place, wasn't it? They were very wicked, and they would torture people, and they were just horrible people. They were just horrible. And so God told Jonah, he said, "I want you to go to Nineveh." And did Jonah say yes, or did he say no? He said no. And so God told him, he was in Joppa. He said, "I want you to go to the east 550 miles. And what did Jonah do? He said, "Whoop, I'm not doing that." And he went west for 2,500 miles, trying to get as far away as he could. And so he got into a boat and he sails to a town called Tarshish, or he's headed there. But when he was in the boat, who sent a storm? God sent a storm, that's right. So God sent a big storm. The sailors, they thought that they were going to die. And so they threw Jonah overboard and to try to save themselves. And last week we looked at the very last verse in chapter 1. That's how we started. And it says, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah." All right? So, which was a little funny to me, you know, because the Lord provided a fish to eat Jonah. That doesn't sound like a provision. It sounds more like a problem, right? And so last week we learned that sometimes what we call a problem, God calls provision, doesn't he? And the Lord provided this fish and it swallowed Jonah up. And then it says that he's in the belly of this fish and he prays. And we also read last week that he prayed, and the Bible says, and the Lord heard his prayer. Do you remember, did God do something immediately? No, he did. Nothing happened. He waited in that belly of that fish for 3 days and 3 nights, didn't he? And he's waiting and he's waiting. And and another principle we learned last week was, while you're waiting, God is still working, right? We talked about that a little bit, which is great news for those of you that have been praying about something for a long time. You've been asking God for a long time, and you're wondering if God is hearing you. I want you to know that when you pray, that God hears your prayers. Even if you don't see anything going on, you don't see anything happening, it doesn't mean that God is not doing anything. While you're waiting, God is still working. And then last week, we ended up with the very last verse of chapter 2, verse 10, and it says that, "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." And we talked about how gross that would be, right? That's gross. The fish throws Jonah up, and he's on the shore, and he's alive, but he's in a mess, right? His salvation is kind of like some of ours this morning. It wasn't clean, was it? We went through some stuff, and while we were going through that stuff, it was almost like we just got all this gunk on us, like Jonah had these fish guts, and it was nasty. And so we're here today, and we're going to start chapter 3. with my very favorite verse out of this. And it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Let's pray this morning. Father, I love you today. I thank you, Lord God, that you are a God of second chance, that you, God, will come to us a second time and give us another chance. And God, today, there's someone in this room that needs a second chance. And Lord, I pray that you would speak into our hearts and our minds today through your Holy Spirit. Lord, may your word go forth and not come back void, but God, that it would rightly divide in our hearts and our minds, God, the things that we that are good and the things that are evil. And Lord, that you would show us our ways so that we can walk in yours. And God, I ask this in Jesus' name. Let your word go forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So how many of you are thankful that we serve a God of second chances, right? Amen. We see we serve a God that not just calls us, but he calls us back. He calls us back. And some of us, we need to thank God this morning because we're a little bit like Jonah, aren't we? We couldn't save ourselves. Just like in the book of Titus, it tells us, it says that God saved us not because of our righteousness, but because of his mercy. He saved us because of we serve a God that's a compassionate God. We have a God that's full of grace because we have a God that not just calls us, but he calls us back. And we serve a God of second chances, and I praise him for that this morning. Scripture tells us that we're not saved by works, but we're saved by grace through faith, so that no one, not any of us, can brag about it. And you see, we're saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. And we thank God this morning that every one of us, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how dark your life has been. It doesn't matter how much you've messed up. But everyone, the Bible says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Praise the Lord this morning. Somebody, we need to thank God this morning for that, that he's a God of second chances. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Our God doesn't just call us, but he calls us back. And we see this in the Bible all the way from Genesis to the end of the book in Revelations. We can see how God was a God of second chances. And I want to just show you some of this. I don't want you to just believe me, so I'm going to give you some examples from the Bible. In Genesis, we see that Adam and Eve, they sinned against God, but God showed grace and made a covering for them. You can look at Moses, and you can see that he murdered a man, but God showed him grace, and he still used him to free the children of Israel. David, here's a man after God's own heart, but he committed adultery, and then he committed murder to cover that up. But God showed him grace, and when he repented, God forgave him, and he still called him a man after God's own heart, didn't he? How about Rahab? Yes. I tell you, if God can do it for these people, he can do it for us. Amen. Let's look at Rahab. She lived as a prostitute, but God showed grace and he used her to help her protect the spies and to redeem her into the lineage of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, we all have some people in our family tree that had some bad things going on. Even Jesus did. In his lineage, he had a prostitute named Rahab. We look at our family and we think, I'm getting ahead of myself on my message. We think that they can't be saved, but I want to tell you that they can be saved. I want you to look at Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector, a corrupt tax collector. He stole from people. He was very greedy all the time, but God showed him grace, and he even went to his house for dinner, didn't he? And he forgave him of his sins, and he made him new. How about Peter? Here's Peter, one of his disciples that had been walking with him for years and doing things for the last year or so, and he denied Jesus three times before his death. But God showed Peter grace that day, and he forgave Peter, and he reinstated him back to his position, and he used him to help build the early church. I'm telling you, if God can do it for Peter, he can do it for you and me. How about Thomas, doubting Thomas, another one of his disciples? And here he is, Jesus, after the resurrection. You see, our God is a God of second chances. And God showed grace, and he met Thomas right there in his doubt and in his need. And he gave him the forgiveness that he needed. And can I tell you, I thank God for my salvation this morning, because I'm just like every one of these people I mentioned. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and God has given me a second chance, and I thank Him for that this morning. God is a God of second chances. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Verse 2 tells us this. God says, get up. Everybody say, get up.
Get up.
He says, get up and go. And now let's say it all together. What did he say? Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message that I have given you. The word get up and go in the book, in the Hebrews language, is kwamyalak. I'm probably butchering that. Texan trying to speak Hebrew, right? Kwamyalak. And what it means, though, is it means that it means that you're to go now, or to go immediately, and to go today is what that word means. And that's why I want to say it to you this morning. Whenever God speaks to you in His Word, through His Word or through some way that He's going to speak to you, I want to ask you today to do it now. Do it immediately. Do it today. Kwamyalak. Whenever the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something, you may be like, you know, I need you to be generous to this person over here. You know, a lot of us sometimes we say, well, God, is that you? Are you really telling me to be generous? Or He says, hey, I need you to go and pray for someone. And you think, well, I'll pray for them later. Or I don't really need to go to them and pray. I can just pray from him from here. But what I want you to understand is whenever God prompts you to do something, go and do it now. Do it immediately. Do it today. I always try to do it immediately. Do I always do it immediately? No. I got tickled at Sister Donna telling me a story about when she was in MD Anderson a couple weeks ago. She said the Lord said, I need you to go pray for this lady. And Donna said, well, God, is that really what you want me to do? And so she goes and she's sitting there and she just walks right by her. She didn't stop. And so she kind of turns around and she walks by her again. And then Donna tells me, she goes, I even went to the gift shop and I'm in there just kind of waiting and thinking, God, is this really you? Do I really need to go pray for this person? And she relented and she became obedient and she went and she prayed for this lady. And this lady's still texting her and asking her to pray for her. You see, you never know what God is asking you to do and what impact that it's going to make. But we know that it's easy for us to put things off and to procrastinate. But God wants us to be obedient now. A few weeks ago, I said delayed obedience is still disobedience. Amen. It says that the first time, whenever the word of the Lord came to Jonah, he ran. But this time, what does he do? In verse 3, it tells us that he obeyed this time. He didn't wait around. He didn't think about it. He obeyed. He'd been in that fish and decided, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. But this time in Scripture, Jonah obeyed the Lord and he went to Nineveh. Now, I want you to see that Nineveh was a pretty large city back in this day. It was about a city that theologians believe would be about 120,000 people. And so there's all of these people that were living there that Jonah was supposed to go preach to that he despised. He didn't like these people. He knew how evil they were. But this time when God said go, he went, and it took him 3 days to go through the whole city and to preach what God had told him to preach. And the Bible says here in our scripture, it says that he began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming. Let me get that scripture up there. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. It was to the city, proclaiming. Yeah, right down there. No, let's go back one. I think you're right there, dot, dot, dot. See, the journey into the city, proclaiming, dot, dot, dot. I want us to think about this dot, dot, dot for a moment. Before I show you the sermon that Jonah preached to these people, I want you to recognize where Jonah's at, okay? Because God doesn't always send us on easy tasks, does he? And so before I show you what he preached, I want you to understand that this is a man that's in enemy territory. These people hate him and his life is in danger. They hate him and he hates them. And he didn't want to go there. And I'm sure that Jonah is thinking in his mind, God, this is a waste of my time. These people hate you, they hate me, and they're not going to listen to this message. And so Jonah goes in and he preaches what God lays on his heart. But before I show you that, I want to tell you that just a little advice. If you're ever going to do a Bible study or you're going to ever speak in public or something, sometimes I just want to suggest a little soft opener, you know, kind of like what I did. Pretend that I messed up this morning just to kind of get your attention about God being a God of second chances. I did that intentionally to try to bring you in. Or you might want to say something if you're going to lead a group. You might want to say something like, you know, God loves you and God has a plan for you, something to encourage them. But that's not what Jonah did in this message. Jonah didn't go in. He didn't have some funny joke. He didn't have a little quick pro quo or anything like that. He just comes in and, man, he hammers it hard. And this is what he says. Let's go to the next one. It says, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Wow. That's Jonah's sermon to the people of Nineveh. 40 more days and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. I'm telling you, you come in and you, if I were to come in this morning and say, hey, in 40 more days, God's going to wipe you off the face of this earth. You know, you guys might be like, I don't even like that guy up there. You know what I mean? And I'm not even going to listen to him. But Jonah, we don't know what all he said. He may have said more than that. He may have just went through the city crying that out. I don't know. It's not recorded. The only thing that's recorded is that he told them what God told him to say. And that was 40 more days from now, God's going to destroy all of you. And why did he do this? It's because God told him to say it. It's what God had laid on his heart and said, these are my people that I love and they need to hear this message. And I know that he was thinking, Lord, this is crazy. This is crazy. These people hate you. They hate me. And I'm sure they're not going to listen. But for some of you right now, you might be thinking about that to someone in your life. You're thinking there's no way that they're ever going to accept the grace and the love of Jesus. There's someone in your life right now that they're so far away from you that you're thinking, God, there is just no way you can reach them. I just want to tell you, don't ever underestimate what God might be doing in someone's life. Maybe it's your dad, and you're thinking, there's no way dad's ever going to come. Maybe it's a friend that you work with, and you're thinking, that's too hard of a heart. I don't think God can penetrate it. Or maybe it's one of your kids that's not living for the Lord right now, and you think, man, I don't think there's ever a way they're going to come back. I want to tell you this morning with all my heart, don't give up hope. Because Jonah preached this very short and very blunt message, and I want us to see what happened. In verse 5, it says that the Ninevites believed God. I want you to see these are some wicked, wicked people, the Ninevites, and they believed God. But how many of you know that there's a big difference in believing in God and believing God? There's a big difference. And some of you right now, you just believe in God. Like you believe in God. I'm at church right now, right? That's what you're thinking. I believe in God. Or I'm watching some YouTube pastor preach. I believe in God. But just because you believe in God, it doesn't mean you believe God. And I want to see a difference in there. James 2:19 says this. It says, you believe there is one God? Good. Even demons believe that, and they shudder. Believing in God is different than believing God. And the problem is that some of you believe that he's a loving God, but you don't believe that he's a God that truly loves you. You think, oh, he's a loving God, but there's just no way he can love me. I've messed up too much. I've been too bad. I've done way too many things wrong. But you believe in God, but you don't believe that he truly loves you. Or maybe you believe in God that answers prayers, but you don't have the faith to believe that he hears your cries and your heart and that he'll answer your prayers this morning. I want to tell you, don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. I want to say to somebody here this morning, don't just believe in him, believe him. There's
somebody here this morning. And you believe
that he loves, and you believe that he can change, but you don't believe he can change you. You have such a low self-esteem. Somebody's here this morning. You have a low self-esteem, and you think to yourself, there is no way that God in heaven could love someone like me. I just want to tell you this morning, I just want you to know he loves you. He loves you beyond measure. Sorry. I'm getting off my sermon this morning. I just feel the presence of the Lord this morning. Don't just believe that God can, but believe God will. He can and he will do abundantly more than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. Increase your faith. Increase your faith. Believe him. Someone is thinking, he keeps telling me I'm a child of God, but there's just no way. There's no way I could be God's child. Believe him this morning. His word says that he came to redeem you. He came for you. He died for you this morning. I want us to see in verse 5, it says that they believed God and they proclaimed a fast. And that means that they're not going to eat for a short period of time. From the greatest to the least, it says that they put on sackcloth. And that's a form of mourning for sinfulness in the Bible. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, even that evil king, we can read what he did. It said that he rose from his house, from his throne, and he took off his royal robe and he covered himself in sackcloth and he sat down in the dust. Can I tell you, that's interesting to me that the Ninevites believed God. They didn't just believe in him. When Jonah preached this message, they believed him. And this evil king, what he did was he stepped off of his throne and he took off his royal robe and he covered himself in sackcloth. So in humility, what he did is he removed himself from this throne. And in a similar way, I believe that there's people in this room today that it's time for us to take ourselves off of the throne room of our life. And to say, I'm no longer the Lord of my life, but I'm going to turn away from my sin and I'm going to turn towards God. The word for that is repent. It means to turn away from your sins. It doesn't mean to just say I'm sorry for them, but it means to turn away from them. Verse 8 tells us, says, let everyone call urgently on God. The king is saying this, and the king's like, hey, I want everyone in my kingdom. I want everyone to call on God. Not because Jonah is saying it. He says, I'm wanting you to call on him because you need him now. Don't just sit around and don't wait for later. Call on him now. And some of you right now, if I could just say it, you've been putting it off. You've been putting off calling on God completely. You're thinking, well, I'm going to wait till I get a little bit older. Or maybe I'll wait until I get married. Or maybe when we have kids, then we'll really get in there. We'll really completely and totally surrender to the Lord. Maybe I'll call on God, you know what, like when I really need him for something. Can I tell you, you need him now. You need him now. You need his grace now. You need his power now. You need his mercy now. You need the Holy Spirit now. We need his love now more than ever. You need his strength. Amen? You need him now. We need you now, Lord. We need you now. And the king is telling his people, he says, call on him now. And so the king is saying, repent, is what he's saying. And that word to me is just, it's a beautiful word, because the word re, what it means is just to turn. to turn away from going in the direction that you were going, from going the wrong way, and turn towards God. Pent, that is the things which are higher, like a penthouse, that we're turning away from the things of this world that are going down, down, down. Like I told you about Jonah in the first lesson, he was going down, down, down. But what the Bible's telling us in our story today is that we're to get up and we're to turn towards God. And so we're turning away from the lower things of this world to the higher things of God. That's what repent is. But I want you to understand, to truly repent this morning is to change your mind so deeply that it changes your life completely. It changes your mind so deeply that it changes your life completely. You see, I'm changing my mind. I'm not the Lord of my life any longer. I'm no longer on the throne of my heart. It's no longer about me and my desires and what I want. But God, I surrender everything that I have to you this morning. Is anyone here needing to surrender everything to God this morning? So we look and we see that Jonah preached. He preached a hard, short message. And the nation, by the power of God, they turned to him. They turned from their wickedness. And the Ninevites repented. And now here's what's interesting to me. How did God respond when those Ninevites repented? I'll tell you. Can we just be real right now? I don't want you to hate me, but as a pastor, I'm just a person, just like you. I'm just a regular guy. But I want to tell you, if I were God, and thank God that I'm not, that I wouldn't respond the way that God responds here. Somebody, these Ninevites, they would have repented, and if I would have been God, I would have been like, well, I tell you what, I hear what you're saying, but just prove it. Walk with me for a year, and then I'll see about it. I'll see if it's really taken. But that's not what God does. Verse 10 tells us this. It says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, that he relented and he did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. Man, I tell you, I love this. Whenever they repented, God relented. When they repented, God relented. Whenever they turned to him, our God, a God of compassion, showed them compassion. And in the very same way, when we mess up again in our lives, how many of you have messed up in your life and you have a messed up again story? I know I do. I've got a bunch of them. As a little boy, I'm going to tell you how I used to think about God. I used to think that I could go to church and I would ask God to forgive me. And before I went out the door, I would have an evil thought or I'd mess up, I'd do something. And I would think that, okay, now I'm back out of God's graces. I used to think that God would I would say, God, forgive me of my sins. And he'd write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then I'd mess up before I even got home. And God's turning the pencil over and he's erasing my name out. And I used to think, that pencil must look like a fan up there because I'm repenting and he's relenting. I'm repenting and he's relenting, writing it in there. Amen. We serve a God of second chances. I'm glad that God gave me a vision like that as a little boy. That I knew I served a God so loving that I can mess up and he still loves me. That he still has my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I know for some of us, we have those things in our lives and that we really don't want to do, but we do them anyways. Some of us, we say, I'm not going to cuss anymore. And the next thing we know, we've stubbed our toe and blah, 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 it comes out, you know? Or I'm not going to yell at my kids anymore. I'm going to be more patient. And then they mess up, and the next thing you know, man, you're yelling at your kids again. Or I'm not going to be critical. Or I'm not going to be hateful to my spouse. The next thing you know, you're being critical and hateful to your spouse. I'm not going to look at those things that I'm not supposed to look at anymore. And the next thing you know, you're looking at them again. Can I tell you the good news this morning is that when you mess up, the word of the Lord comes to you again a second time. Just like it came to Jonah. And you mess up again, and the word of the Lord is going to come to you again. And you're going to mess up again, and the word of the Lord is going to come to you again. Because we serve a God that's compassionate, and he loves you. And he's so compassionate, even in Isaiah 30:18, it says, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up and show you compassion." He longs to show you compassion. He doesn't just want to show you compassion. He doesn't just have compassion in his hand. He longs to show it to you. He desires to. He wants to. He purposes to show you that he loves you and that he's compassionate for you. I think sometimes we get this view of where we think that God's just up there looking down on us, just trying to catch us doing something wrong. He's not. He's up there longing to show you grace and to show you that his mercy is new every morning and to show you his compassion. It says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And for someone here this morning, the word of the Lord is coming to you for a second time this morning. And so what I would ask you this morning is the question I want to ask you is, what is God trying to show you this morning? Could you come to the keyboard, please? What is he saying to you this morning? Would you just stand with me? What message is the Lord sending your way this morning? Would you be willing to just ask the Holy Spirit this morning to show you? Would you just say, God, what are you trying to show me this morning? You know, but here's what I've discovered in my own life. I've discovered in my own life that whenever God is showing me something, it's usually one of two things. God is trying to show me either it's a sin that he's trying to save me from, or he's trying to show me an opportunity that he's calling me to. And most of the time when God is showing me something, he's trying to show me something in my life that he's trying to remove or protect from me, or he's trying to call me to do something like an opportunity to be generous or to serve or to give someone a word of encouragement or to pray with somebody. What's the Lord trying to show you this morning? God, what are you trying to show me this morning? The good news is this, is that the word of the Lord is coming to you and to me, and he's given us a second chance. But I want you to know something about a second chance. I want you to understand that every chance from God demands a choice from you. Every chance from God demands a choice from you. Some of you, you've brushed him off for a while. You've taken him for granted. And he's coming to you again this morning and he's saying, I want you to draw closer to me. I want to pour more of me into you. And he's coming to you for a second chance. Some of you in this place, you may have never really known him, and you've considered it, and you've thought about it, but you hadn't made that choice. I want to tell you this morning, the word of the Lord is coming to you for a second time this morning. Our God doesn't just call, but he calls us back. He calls us, but when we mess up and we get away from him, he calls us back. I thank you for that, and I believe that he's calling us back to him this morning. There's someone in this room, you've strayed and you've gone away and you're thinking, oh, I've messed up again. God is a God this morning that's calling you back. Amen? He didn't give up on Jonah when Jonah turned his back on him, and he didn't give up on the sailors whenever they were so far away from him. He didn't give up on the king that was so evil and wicked. He didn't give up on the people of Nineveh. And God hasn't given up on you either. He hasn't given up on me. I'm so thankful this morning. I need him. I need him. Our God is a God of second chances. If you've screwed up your life, the word of the Lord says that he's coming to you again this morning. If you feel ashamed or you feel stuck in that same old sin, I want you to know that the word of the Lord is coming to you again this morning. If you're away from God this morning and you've lost all hope and you think you've been too bad, I want you to know that the word of the Lord is coming to you again. I want you to remember this morning that God's grace is greater than any of your greatest sins. Amen. He's given you a second chance this morning. He's given me a second chance this morning. And I just want us to remember that every chance from God demands a choice from you and from me. So let's bow our heads and let's just pray. Father, I thank you this morning. We worship you. We love you. We need you in this place today, God. You're the only one that's in here that's worthy of praise. With nobody looking around, for just a moment, close your eyes and not look around. If you're willing to pray that prayer with me, if you're willing to pray the prayer, God, what are you trying to show me? You see, this is where spiritual maturity is going to come. When we ask God to show us and to tell us, what is he trying to show us? If that's you and you're here this morning and you're thinking God is trying to show me something, I want you to slip your hand up right now and just acknowledge it, that you're going to pray that prayer with me. Lift it up. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God, what are you trying to show us this morning? And I want you to just take some time and just listen. Some of you, you know immediately what it is. What God's trying to show you. Maybe it's that thing that he showed you before and you're resisting it. The odds are pretty good that God's trying to show you a sin that he's trying to protect you from. It might be an opportunity that he's calling you to this morning. I don't know. Holy Spirit, what is it that you're trying to show us this morning? God, speak to us today. We need you. We need to hear your voice. Father, we love you. As you keep praying and nobody looking around, I want to know that I say this lovingly, but I believe that there's some people in here, what I would call cultural Christians. You kind of believe in God, but you're still kind of on the throne of your own life. You're still calling the shots. You're not doing what he wants you to do. You're doing what you want to do. You're not being submitted to Jesus this morning. Well, who is Jesus? Jesus is the sinless, perfect, spotless Lamb of God, the Son of God who came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. He didn't come for the perfect people. He came for the broken people this morning. He came for the sinners. And that's great news to me because the Bible says that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short. And so the Bible says that he came for you and me, the broken, the hurting. You're here this morning, you're saying you've done things that are so wrong and you feel distant from God and you feel some sort of shame or guilt. Well, the good news is that he came for those who are broken. He came for those of us that are hurting this morning. He came to seek and save those that are lost. This is our Jesus, the one that hung upon the cross, and he was the perfect sacrifice, and he died in our place for our sins, for our mistakes, for our faults and our failures. And the Bible tells me that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And maybe you're here today and you know that you're not following him. Or maybe you don't know where you stand with him. Maybe you're like, you know, I love him, but I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know where I even stand with him. I want you to say it this morning. I want you to call on his name. Ask him what he's trying to show you this morning. And when you call on him this morning and when you repent, he relents. He forgives you immediately and you become a brand new person. That's how good God's grace is. Today, if you say, Pastor Jack, that's me. I need God's grace today. By faith, would you just lift up your hand this morning and say, I need Jesus. I'm surrendering my life to you. Would everybody pray with me so that nobody prays alone? Let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, today, right now, I give you my life. I turn towards you. Forgive all my sins. Be first in my life, Lord Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can know you, so that I can serve you. Thank you for new life. I give you all of mine. In Jesus' name, amen.